for self-knowledge. Remembering Descartes, I set out to doubt everything I had been taught. The mention is all the more significant as, for the most part, she consciously tries not to remember anyone or anything she has even read, let alone been taught. Instead, pursuing something like a voyage of her own personal experiential discoveries. In this connection, it is fascinating that although she never mentions the novel in the main body of her book, Miller regularly uses quotations from Robinson Crusoe as chapter epigraphs. There is much in common between the two. Crusoe keeps a journal, a daily record of his solitary activities. He discovers and explores a new country and makes on his island a life of his own. He becomes aware of the imaginary nature of some of the dangers against which he has barricaded himself. He records in wonder and amazement the beginnings of new and unlikely natural growth, as with the entry, which Milner quotes, that records the appearance one day of shoots of barley, as if from nowhere. Milner's exploration, another of her words for it, does involve far-reaching life movements, not unlike the kind that Robinson Crusoe experienced. Almost self-paradoxically, at one point she lists the external events that accompanied the period of her self-discovery. I was married, had reached America, and had opportunity of doing the kind of work I had hoped for. A seemingly perfect blend of achieved aims and objectives that might seem exceptional for an early 21st century woman, let alone one born in 1900. These outward events, she also has a baby in the course of the 7 years, include the direct echo or repetition of a symbolic geographical passage with the ship's arrival at New York. But their extraordinary nature only then serves to highlight Milner's deliberate downplaying of their importance by comparing with what she regards as the real journey. This is an inward one involving excursions into the hinterlands of my own mind. Within herself, there lies another country, an elsewhere or otherwhere that is overlooked and unvisited, until by the act of observation and recording, she begins to realize the meaning of it. In the later stages of what I had thought was a lonely trail, I came upon the outskirts of a country which seemed to be well known to the few, though little spoken of, and I think unguessed at by the many. Placed as the final sentence of the preface, this sentence also acts as a tantalizing invitation to the reader to join in a journey of initiation. It is not the least enticement of a life of one's own that it appears to offer something that can be found in no other place. Milner describes how she paused in her own search to look in vain for guidance from the self-help manuals that were currently available. Having found that it was not so easy to determine the facts, and being impatient to reach my goal as soon as possible, I was tempted by the glowing promises of the handbooks on mental training. They fail her, demanding some certain knowledge of a definite life goal, which Milner doesn't have, but the diversion, the false trail, with its glowing promises, then comes to serve as a kind of advertisement for Milner's own way. The reason for publishing the book is that although what I found is probably peculiar to my own temperament and circumstances, I think the method by which I found it may be useful to others, even to those whose discoveries about themselves may be the opposite of my own. But Milner then proceeds to a further justification, which is all the more striking for being cast as in need of no elaboration. The need for such a method in these days is obvious, a method for discovering one's true likes and dislikes, for finding and setting up a standard of values that is truly one's own and not a borrowed mass-produced ideal. The reference is to a specifically contemporary need for what is proposed. Times have changed, and in these days, something is lacking that presumably was not before, or whose lack was not obvious prior to now. But what Milner doesn't directly say is that the implied distinction between the mass-produced or borrowed and the authentically personal, truly one's own, may itself be a feature of the contemporary predicament. How strange, and perhaps how new it might have seemed to someone of the previous century to Milner's, to be able to set the